Well, cyber attacks like the one that crippled the city of Atlanta a few weeks ago are, in theory, entirely preventable. All it takes is knowing how hackers think and protecting the security issues that they might exploit, right? Well, at least you can punish them after they have exploited you, assuming your laws are correctly configured. SB 315 is on its way to Governor Nathan Deal's desk as we speak. It is a bill that would redefine unauthorized computer access as a crime under Georgia law, which would make data breaches easier to prosecute, or so that is the aim. But some in the tech industry worry that this measure could hinder their ability to do their jobs. With me to explain these concerns are two people who have worked with the Electronic Frontier Foundation of Georgia. One is Kate Bennett. She's a tech security specialist. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Also with us is Logan Hicks. He sits on the board of directors for the International Institute of Research and Development. Hello, Logan.
Hey, how's it going?
Could either of you just explain for us, in brief, what are Georgia's cybersecurity laws like right now, and how would this bill change them, assuming the governor signs it, which he's given no indication he won't do?
Well, currently the laws in Georgia are pretty loosely set in terms of cyber. Most states have relatively loose laws. They try to mock as most often as they can with the CFAA, which is the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. It's a federal law that criminalizes cybersecurity misbehaviors, as we like to state them in our industry. And for the overall majority, if you're caught committing a felony in our industry, you go to jail, and it's just a simple reality. But criminalizing at the state level, I think, has more impact on a negative side than it does on any real side, because if you've committed a federal act, you're going to get hit with the federal charges long before you're going to see any state ramifications. And again, from what I can see, to the best of my knowledge, at the state bill currently, they dropped it from a felony to a misdemeanor, which is equivalent of throwing a rock at your neighbor's mailbox.
Well, I suppose that, and I should emphasize, none of us here are lawyers, but we can at least spitball this about this a little bit. I suppose that if I were in Georgia and I hacked into a computer system in Georgia and no one from out of state was affected, perhaps I wouldn't be prosecutable under the federal law, that local prosecutors would need a law of their own to go after me. Is that conceivable?
It's not likely, and that's simply because unless you go to Georgia from where you're at currently, so if I were in Georgia and I broke into a Georgia systems, I would still have to transgress a large number of systems to get from system A to system B, and there's no guarantee that I won't cross federal lines by crossing from, say, for instance, a router from state of Georgia into the state of North Carolina, for instance, that will then pass me back into Georgia. So the conduit of my attempt at accessing your system would actually cross state lines, which would then make it federal jurisdiction if it were assessed in that manner, which they could, in which case it would become a federal crime.
All right. Well, Logan, we'll get back in a minute to why you think that it's problematic to try to criminalize these things at the state level as opposed to the federal level. But, Kate, could you just clear up for us, what does this new bill do? How does it change things in Georgia?
So currently, everyone's familiar with the Panera Bread incident, right? So
no.
Oh, really? Okay. So what happened was the user's data was publicly available. What I mean by publicly available is if you see a license, driver's license, on someone's driveway, you're walking by on a public street, and you look, and you can stand on the public street, which you're legally allowed to be on, which is equivalent to the World Wide Web, you can see the driver's license and read the data. Now, what you do with that data depends on whether you're a criminal or not, in my opinion, and under the current law. So if you take that data that you find, if you took the data from Panera Bread and sold it, or you took the driver's license information and sold it, then that's criminal activity, and it's sure prosecuted under current law. So the user's data that signed up, all the users that signed up for the Panera Bread's rewards card, was publicly available. People could access it. Now, the researcher told Panera Bread about it, and Panera Bread said, okay, we see your messages. And they said this for 8 months, and Panera Bread never fixed it. So then at that point, the security researcher exposed the fact that this had happened, and it made the news. Typically in security research, we do not, if we find a vulnerability, we notify the person that can fix it, because we, as the researcher who noticed it, do not have access to the code to fix it. The security researcher wasn't able to protect the user's data that Panera Bread was exposing. They needed Panera Bread to fix the issue, which they have. They took the website down the last I checked.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so we want these people that find these issues and report it in a proper way, such as to the company or to the police, just as you would if you found a driver's license, you would report it to, you know, you give it back to the person or give it to the police. And that's not a crime. Now, of course, if they took the data and sold it or used it for identity theft, then that is a crime. And so we want a bill that distinguishes the two and not just says, you know, anyone who finds this information can be prosecuted under SB 315.
So to keep going with your driver's license analogy, you're walking by the sidewalk and you see someone's driver's license laying in their driveway. You're saying that, at least within the computer world, this new bill headed to Governor Nathan Deal's desk in Georgia would criminalize not only the act of taking that person's identity off of their driver's license and using it to get a credit card and spend their money. It would also criminalize just looking at the driver's license?
Yes, looking at it and telling, I guess if you never told anyone you looked at it, it'd be hard to prosecute you. But if you did something like attempt to give the ID back to someone or even give it to the police, like, oh, you know, you bring the ID to the police department and they arrest you instead of saying thank you for not leaving this identity on the road for a truly bad person to get right. And start using the data. In general, I actually lost my license on the road on the street of Atlanta, and the person found it and gave it back to me, and I was super thankful.
Okay. So we're talking about a new bill that has been passed by the Georgia legislature headed to Governor Nathan Deal's desk, which would make unauthorized computer access a state crime in Georgia. And Logan, just to clarify this one more time, let me give you a real world example. So at some point, this is hardly the most serious example, but during the Trump campaign, people were talking about the Trump brand of steaks for a little while. And the Trump brand of steaks were no longer for sale on the Sharper Image or the Trump store, any place where Trump had previously sold steaks. But I kind of wanted to find out more about them just because I was bored one night. And I found that the pages where the items had been listed for sale were still on, I think it was the Sharper Images website. The links just weren't indexed anymore. You couldn't actually get to them through any search or through any publicly available link. But if you kind of figured out how their URLs were coded, you could just kind of find one. And I found these very unflattering, very terrible photos of terrible looking steaks. And I shared them on the internet because I thought that was funny. Would that theoretically be illegal under this bill, assuming the governor signs it?
Well, you're getting into gray area there, and it really could depend on interpretation based on intent. So the providers of the website did put the content out on a public-facing system, and the system is present on the platform, which is a public-facing medium. However, at the same time, they also took measures to make it unavailable, and at the same time, you took measures to make unavailable content available again. And so it would really depend on the person that you're talking to and based on their interpretation. I would most definitely say that if you went further than just a public-facing system and you actually started digging through their databases, you could definitely be looking at some serious problems there. It really would come down to interpretation by a DA or an assistant DA.
So it's pretty clear that both of you, as experts in cybersecurity, are generally opposed to this legislation. We have a little bit of time left here, not much. In a minute, could each of you explain why you think this is a bad idea? Logan, you go first.
Well, I think it's a bad idea overall because for a variety of reasons. One is a very clear showing that the state has a very moderate to modest, if any, actual understanding of our industry at all. For starters, with the fact that on the Atlanta site right now, they stipulate that with $4.7 billion, they held 25% of the global market share, which Gartner puts at $96 billion. Obviously, that math is off by a substantial sum. So there's a large issue right there just showing from just a generic market perspective that they don't understand what we're doing or how our industry works, which shows a wide variety of concerns, then showing that a lot of the people that came on committees prior to were completely sandbagged the second they showed up on multiple committee hearings, which really shows that they don't generally have an intent or interest in hearing what we have to say, which has led several of people in the industry, including myself, to start putting together exodus packages for corporations and personnel, where we're simply just going to transplant the entire industry to another state.
All right. Kate, in a minute, why do you think this is a bad idea?
So when they crafted the bill, no security experts were contacted or apparently even asked about, you know, what could make the bill successful. I think if we were going to build a software for a hospital, we would definitely contact a hospital and have their input as to what the software needs, you know, what kind of characteristics does the software need to have. I think if the legislation is going to craft a bill, and I'm not saying we don't need one, we probably do, and it would be really awesome if they would contact some people in the that have security expertise. We have a number of companies in the state of Georgia that would be happy to assist. And so that's what we would like to see. And then it would be better for the businesses in Georgia.
That's Kate Bennett. She's a security specialist, computer security specialist. We also heard there from Logan Hicks, who serves on the board of directors for the International Institute of Research and Development. Both of these folks were talking about Senate Bill 315, a bill that has been recently passed by the Georgia legislature criminalizing unauthorized computer access under state law in Georgia. It has yet to be signed by Governor Nathan Deal, but he's given no indication yet that he won't sign it.